Whenever you're ready, Elder. Our title for this morning is Our Oneness Restores the Stolen Years of His Peace. And I began to share this with you last week. And it's really something that really ministers to me greatly. I might get a little choked up here and there, but the truth of the matter is God has been leading us into becoming one, like I've never experienced before.
Amen.
And he's been revealing the true value of us becoming one. That is to me, it's revealing the true exalted place of his peace. It's that, remember the picture of the top of the ark was two cherubims facing each other. One was indicative of the Father. The other was indicative of the church. And we are that other one cherub. We're not many cherubs, we're one. And it is us together that elevates us, a being together that elevates us into a dimension of peace like we've never known. We will see the anointing released in our lives because of the oneness that we're coming into. We're going to see and experience the Father, the love of the Father, the jealousy that the Father has toward us like we've never known before. I realize, and I said this a couple of weeks in a row, and I'm going to say it again, I've come to the realization that I cannot individually achieve this. He didn't call me by myself. He called us as his body. And we together make up the body. And we together as the body will see the glory of Christ on our lives like never before. So the message of peace through oneness is the reason for this restoration that's coming. It's that the oneness message, it's the becoming one message, and it's the revelation, the ultimate revelation of peace. The Rhema has led us to understand that we are the body of Christ. As we function in oneness by way of the Rhema word, we as the body would come to live by the glory of God. In fact, it's the same glory that Jesus himself lived by way of the Father. This glory doesn't just take care of our present, and I'm realizing that. It doesn't just take care of our future, but this glory is revealing that it reaches back and restores the years of lost harvest.
Bless God.
Now I understand what it means when the Bible says the new will bring forth the old. It means that while the old was maturing, that which we've lost along the way and that which was stolen comes in the harvest as well. All the years we were believing for salvation and success and breakthroughs of all kinds, it comes forth as the new Rhema brings forth an old, the old, and it's bringing forth the harvest of the old. And it's also restoring what was stolen or lost. The glory through our being one is about to bring back everything, and I mean everything that we should have ever had. And that's a fact. And here we go. We pick up over in the book of Joel. We've been over here a couple times through the series, but we're gonna revisit Joel chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. It says here, "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors," it says, "and the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the pommel worm, my great army, which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed." All right, there's a promise here of restoration, and it's a tremendous promise of God restoring the years. And within the years, he means everything that should have come in that year or in the years that didn't come, I'm going to restore. Now, The word restore by itself up here, I have it bolded out. The word restore, it says it means to be safe. It means to give again or to repay. And it also means this, to be at peace, to be in a covenant of peace. So this whole series on the message of peace is bringing us to this point, to the fact that God we'll see what the prerequisite is for restoration. But what he's doing here through the message of peace, he says, I'm restoring you because of peace being revealed unto you. I'm restoring you. And now that God has revealed the oneness factor, we're going to see that the oneness factor is the prerequisite of restoration. Our being one, singleness of mind, singleness of heart, is the absolute prerequisite for what Joel began to prophesy. And we'll look at that in just a moment. But now the restoration, you know, God is bringing you into restoration as he's revealing and has been for the last several months, been revealing this fruit or covenant of peace. Just that alone, being in the message of his peace, God is saying something. He's saying, I want to give again to you. I want to repay you because I'm causing you to understand this covenant of peace. Now, what the Lord is saying to us here is that he is going to restore the years of peace that were eaten. Now, watch this. The years that we didn't live in and walk in his peace. Remember what peace means. This is what he's saying here. The peace means, it means all of the prosperity, all of the favor, and all of the welfare, all of the healing, all of the things in which we should have had are being restored because of this, but because of the peace that he's revealing unto us and because of the peace that he's bringing us into. All right. So now all that we lost, all of that favor, can you imagine the favor that is lost that you did not receive? All of the prosperity that never came that you wish did, all of the welfare, which includes healing, all of this is being returned to us. Your youth will be restored, and all of the things in which you've lost over the years are going to be restored. But what is the prerequisite for this restoration? I've already told you, it's oneness. And now we're going to start to really dive into it. But I want everybody to understand that God is about to bring back the years that have been stolen. Because God is revealing oneness to us by way of peace.
Bless God.
All right, here we go. In Joel chapter 2, we're going up now. We're not going down. We're going up a few verses because the verses before the verses we just read reveal the prerequisite. All right. It says here in Joel chapter 2, verses 15 through 18, it says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. And I shared some of this with you last week because it just connected with what Evangelist dealt with last week. It says, gather. These words are all bolded out for a reason. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, that those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. That's us. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare. This is where he wanted them to come into agreement with these words. Spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Verse 18, watch what happens when they come into a solemn assembly. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. And that's why I love that verse that was in the prayer. We admiring the growing grains that are in the land as we walk hand in hand. Bless this is what Lord the Lord God. Does. He becomes jealous for his land and pities his people. Why? Because of oneness, walking hand in hand. Oneness, perfectly timed prayer, Elder Donna, and I mean that. Now, the word solemn assembly means the word assemblage, all right? assemblage, solemn assembly. Now watch all of the synonyms here of being in oneness. It means to be a band, a battery. We become a battery. I like that. It means block or bunch. It means clot or clump, to cluster, constellation. It means group or grouping. It means huddle, knot, package, or set. See, these are all definitions to solemn assembly. It's speaking of becoming one, moving as a battery, empowered, blocking, bunch, clotting together, clumping, cluster, constellation. It's speaking of oneness. Amen?
Amen.
So now God spoke to me. He said, Todd, because I put this message of peace in your mouth, and peace revealing that you're my body, and that it would elevate you to the ultimate dimension of peace as being one, that you'd see the greater glory coming out of oneness. He said, this message has become a call to a solemn assembly, that all those that are listening in the house of TGM and all those that tap in and come in and listen, and they're getting in under the message, and they're starting to understand how we become one by staying in the Rhema word and how we're walking it out. And as God is instructing us, we're all moving together and doing things together. He said, there's a call to a solemn assembly. And the Lord said, as I watch the assembly, as I watch you all assemble, it provokes me to jealousy. It provokes me to jealousy. And he said, it's a jealousy to where I look at the years that you lost and the years that you should have been walking in harvest and in healing and in favor and in prosperity. All those years that you weren't there, I become jealous over the fact that you did not experience what you should have experienced.
Oh, Jesus.
As I see you come into oneness, what I'm looking at is I'm looking at the body of my son, and the body of my son, which at one time was divided, I'm watching it come together. And when I see it, I become jealous, not for just your present or your future, but it angers me to the point where I reach to your past and bring back everything that was lost or stolen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God.
Hallelujah. And so this is what God is wanting. As the solemn assembly is being sounded, as God is calling us into this dimension of oneness, he's saying, listen, I'm going to reach back. As I'm watching you become a bunch, a clot, a clump, a cluster, a constellation, a group, or a huddle, I'm watching you. And I'm watching the assembly of my son. And I'm telling you now, my jealousy, my anger, it's going to restore the things that you missed and that you lost. So all of the definitions of assemblage speak of oneness. Now I can see why the Lord gave us the funny but yet serious analogy. And I remember evangelist Benita was laughing at that. The analogy about Avengers assembled. That was serious. It was funny, but yet it was serious, just like I said before. For it's in our assembling that we will see peace restored in its totality. It's in the place of our assembling together, coming in oneness of mind. And I'm talking about everybody that's a part of this ministry, moving in the same way at all times.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Moving as one at all times. That when I'm praying, I can feel the power that's within your spirit and your soul coming through my life because we're assembled as one. That now with you being next to me, we're putting thousands to flight. Hundreds of thousands to flight, because I understand that the anointing is clustered now. It's become one. The key was to get everybody, and the key is to get everyone here. In order for this restoration to take place, the key was to get everyone in agreement. And in the same mindset with this statement, this is where they were getting them to. The priest and the ministers started to say, spare thy people. The Lord said, when I hear this sound and I understand what he means by this, not necessarily this verbatim, but in our spirits, as we're coming into one, we're crying out, spare thy people, O Lord. Give not thy heritage to reproach that the heathen should rule over us. There's a sound coming out of us because we're coming into oneness and we're all moving in the same direction, focused on the same goal, God becoming our God. We becoming his people. There's a sound coming up out of us right now. That we're coming into alignment, even in the worship of giving. We're coming into a place of alignment, and there's a sound, and God is hearing the oneness of the sound. And when God said, when I hear them say, spare thy people, O Lord, give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among them, among the people, where is thy God? See, their hearts and minds and actions had to align with it. For when they did align in oneness to it, the Lord would become jealous. And as a result of his jealousy, he would then, as I said, he would pour out the former and latter rains. And in that pour, he also would be giving back all that was eaten or stolen by the enemy. The word gather already, just the word gather, when it says gather the people, it says here, up here, it says gather in verse 16, gather the people. The word gather by itself already means restore them, reward them. So in the gathering, there's already restoration. The brick of activation, if you will, has already gone before us. And now we're coming into a gathering. We're coming into a oneness. And God is saying, get ready to receive. Get ready to be restored, re-rewarded. It's coming.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Just in the fact that we're starting to gather, because our minds are coming into a place where we're saying there's another level here, and it's with my brother, being one with my brother. It's in the dimension of being one with my sister. So in our assembling into oneness, the years of drought in and on our lives, those years provoke God to a place of jealousy. Now he's provoked because he's watching us come together, us turning to him in every regard, us putting our full trust in him all over again by staying in the study of his word, by staying in his temperament against all odds. And if we fall out, we get back up. If we fall, we got one picking us up. Because why? Because they're staying connected. And so we're all being rejoined together. There's a gathering that's taking place. And as God watches this, I'm telling you, he's got restoration and re-rewarding on his mind. Just the fact that we're gathering. We're looking to walk in oneness. So now, the jealousy of God is provoked because of this. When he sees us as one, he sees his son. I'm going to say that again. As he sees us coming as one, he sees his son. The one true seed. Starting to make a whole lot of sense. When he sees the assembling of the one true seed, now, this is old story, so this is bringing forth, so somebody needs to raise their hands and receive their harvest. Listen, when he sees us in oneness, he sees the body of his son, and that is the one true seed. That's the only one that was promised any promise. So now as there's a gathering together in oneness of the mind, as of the head, and we're walking in his mindset, he's watching this assembly of the body of his son. Yeah, see, he sees that broken body that was broken for you. He sees that body that was pierced in the side. He sees the nail-scarred hands and the nail-scarred feet. He sees this body, and he remembers the sacrifice this body made. And as he's watching it assemble in the earth, he's seeing the purpose of why the body went through what it went through. Now he's watching the glory of the body in us. And so therefore, all of the promises become yes and amen. Everything that was lost is being restored. Why? Because the body of Christ is assembling.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And as he's watching his body rise, he says, oh yeah. And the jealousy goes all the way, not just again, not for just your present and not for your future, but the jealousy of the Father says, no. They were always here, and I'm going to give them restoration to what they should have had, even though they weren't assembled at the time. See, he sees his son. He sees the one true seed, and he sees the only heir of his kingdom. Who else is there to bless? There's no one else to bless but the one true seed.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
So therefore, all of the years that the one true seed did not walk in the blessing, God says, I'm going to restore those years to you. And see what happens in his jealousy. And this is what happens when he sees this assemblage, when he watches us coming together. It means he gets excited. This excites him. I love this. The word jealous in the Hebrew means to excite. But it doesn't just excite him. It excites him to a jealous anger. He's basically saying, I've been waiting for you all to come to this level.
Hallelujah.
He gets excited to go back and smite the days that did not provide, to smite the days that did not yield healing. He's excited to restore the things in which we've lost all this time. He's excited watching us assemble.
Bless God.
And he's getting angry at the things in which we never received. He gets excited to a jealous anger. So our assembly excites the Lord to a jealous anger. Every enemy that kept us back from him is absolutely finished. It's over for all oppression. If we want to see the anointing, and listen again, if you want to see this anointing work on your behalf and on our behalf, if we truly want to see the Christ manifest, it's going to happen through our oneness. It's going to happen through our oneness. If you really want to see Jesus, if you really want to experience the Father, hear me now. There's no big I's and little U's here. There's no more islands. I'm telling you, those days are done away with. It's going to take a people that are perfectly unified in the rhema word of God. Perfectly unified in the rhema word of God.
That's God.
Why the rhema? Because the rhema is the glory of the Lord. Is it not, Elder Allison? It is the glory.
Amen, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
And what better unifying is a propitiated mind?
Oh.
There's no better unifying than a propitiated mind. Maybe we can go one step higher. A mind that's propitiated and a mind that really obeys everything the rhema is revealing.
Amen, God.
So if we really want to see Christ, if you really want to understand this, this is not an achievement that you're going to make or you're going to have as an individual. It's going to take your brothers and sisters that you've been called to arms with. It's going to take us all walking in militant step, walking in oneness, just like they did in the book of Acts, just like they did from house to house. It's going to take that oneness, coming to realize that, my goodness, I don't make up the body of Jesus by myself. And that's why I know I've been under such personal attack myself, because the devil hates this message being in my mouth. But I could care less about how he feels, because I see redemption's plan. I see where God wants to take us. I can see it. So if it costs me my life along the way, I won't stop preaching it. So be it. And I mean it just like that. But I'm not going to stop, because this is something that my eyes are being opened to. Because again, for years, I was an individual achiever when it came to being in ministry. I made sure I did what I needed to do, but that it was way beyond that. And yes, I've always had a zeal for every one of us to understand God. I've always had that. But my eyes being open to the value of us being in oneness is,
yes,
like something I've never experienced.
Amen, God.
And I'm a mystery guy. It's a mystery being revealed to me on how to really reach that dimension in the kingdom. And it was never meant for me to reach it by myself. Jesus never just prayed a prayer that singled me out. He prayed that we would all be one.
Amen. Amen.
So now, next segment is every mindset out of his mindset acts just like those four insects and yields the same results. Mark 4 has been revealing this all this time. Mark 4, really powerful here. Some things I never knew in Mark 4, verses 18 and 19. It says here, now, those insects came and they ate the harvest, and they ate everything that they should have had. They stole years. They stole years of just living in kingdom. Mm-hmm. in kingdom bliss, and they came. And I see here in Mark 4 parallel, because every care, everything outside of the mindset of our head, Christ, Jesus, everything that's on the other side of what he's thinking releases those insects, and it yields the same results. Watch this here. Watch this. This is really raw. It says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares, bold it out, cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. All right? The word unfruitful means not yielding what it ought to yield. That's exactly what the word unfruitful means. So now, we ought to have been yielding, but because of cares. Now watch this now, guys. Watch this connection. Never saw this before. The root word of cares means this in the Greek. It means, and I thought about you, Elder Allison, this is going to blow your mind. It means to disunite. Jesus. Cares means to be disunited. It means to be difference between. It means to divide. It means to separate into parts. It means to cut into pieces, to divide into parties, or to split into factions. Factions means, the word faction means a group within a larger group. So basically, we begin to politic in the body. It opens up a realm of politics where we have different views. The cares, I'm going to say it again, means to disunite. Cares means that we become difference. There's a difference between. It means to divide us, to separate into parts. I thought about that. Cut into pieces. I actually saw when I read that the body of Christ cut into pieces.
Wow.
Literally saw hand over here, foot there, knees and thighs over this way, toes over there. Everything was cut into pieces because of cares. Because when we get off into cares, people, this is what happens. The enemy comes in and cuts the body into pieces. It separates us into parts. He creates factions. Now, we got groups within larger groups. We got cliques within the church that believe one way and walk it out like that. And then we got some people walking it out like this. But now we're jacked up. We're not the body.
Jesus.
We're disunited because of cares. Cares is what's separating the body. He said, listen, he said, cares don't just disunite me from you from me. Your cares disunite you from each other. And I said, that's obvious. Look at that. Because you think this way and I think that way. We're really not as one. The Bible says that we ought to mind the same thing, judge the same way. We ought to be viewing the way that the head is viewing. We don't have time for cares. We don't have time for it because it's separating us. Now watch this. When we get into those places of separation, and as the body, we're cut into pieces because you feel like it's okay to walk like this or do it like that, or I feel this way by myself. Listen, you really think that God is jealous and gonna ever restore that which was stolen and lost over years when the body is looking just like the world? The body looks just like the world. We have factions. We have groups within the larger group. We've got cells, and we've got different beliefs within the church. You're hearing one word, but you believe another way, and we're all jacked up right here. Do you really think he's looking at the one true seed? No, he's looking at a chaotic world that Satan has gotten his hands into, and we don't look like the body of Christ at all. We don't look anything like his son. See, we become unfruitful because of cares.
Jesus.
To me, cares is the leader here because all of the rest of it, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things, those all talk about cares.
Yes, they do.
They all speak of cares. They absolutely all do. And so that cares is the issue. See, when you take on cares, it's because you're caring about something other than what the glory or the head or the mind of Christ is revealing. And then you're disunited. We are disunited.
Jesus.
We now become divided. We're separated into parts, cut into pieces. Yeah, I never saw where the hand of Jesus went without the rest of his body. The body stayed together.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, help us. So we were supposed to yield a harvest from the oneness. This is where we're supposed to yield from oneness of mind. But when cares come in, it disunites us. Not only does it disunite us from Christ, it disunites us from one another. We no longer represent as his body. The Father sees the body of his Son cut into pieces. He sees politics within the kingdom. He sees a people with different point of views. And in this, he doesn't see his glory, his mind, his opinion, his estimate or point of view. He doesn't see it filling the earth. He sees the world in the body and doesn't see himself.
Jesus.
This is why he doesn't get jealous over us. And this is why the rhema doesn't bring the harvest that it is supposed to bring. Because we let cares come in. We let cares, think about that.
Jesus.
We let these stupid cares come in to persuade us differently than what the rhema has revealed. And every time we do, it disunites the body. And we have been called and we have been prayed for by Jesus himself for us to be one. So I can't feel this way over here and you're feeling that way over there. If we're called to the same vineyard, I'm going to say this, and yeah, it's going to sound like a cult. And if you want to leave, that's up to you, but I'm just going to speak my truth. If we are called to the same vineyard, then we all should be governed under the same point of view of Christ in our vineyard. We all should be governed in the same way. We all should have the same opinion. If I'm doing my job apostolically and preaching truth, and you're doing your job and teaching truth, and everyone's doing their job, and we're all under the same and staying in the same study, and we're all moving in that direction, in which I tell you all the time, all of you speak it so well, you're convinced of it fully, then we shouldn't have any difference of opinion. We shouldn't have any difference. We should be fully united as one. And the Father looking on the house of True Gospel Ministry and gets excited with jealousy over this house and restores everything that we've lost and that was stolen. Healing should be yielding to heal.
Amen. Amen.
Because healing has been healed because of our oneness. All right, let's go a little bit further. Mark 4:20, there's a reverse reasoning here. It says, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. The word receive means to admit or to allow entry or to let it in. So when we start admitting to what we are learning consistently, the restoration will come, harvest will come. It says, listen, it says, it becometh unfruitful, not we become unfruitful. It, remember, this is old story, this is a bringing forth as well. It becomes unfruitful, not we become unfruitful. Just as we have learned, the rhema word is already, listen, everyone. The rhema word, when released, is already at maximum harvest. It's at maximum harvest when in your hearing. It's at maximum harvest. What lessens the harvest is when you stop admitting it. Oh, God, yeah. When you stop allowing entry to what you've heard today and tomorrow, you don't let it come back. It's going to affect the harvest. The admittance that you have right now, the openness of heart and mind that you have right now, has to be the same way when you rise up tomorrow. The admittance to the truth, the walking in the truth of it, and having the mindset of the truth. Don't let it, remember this, nevertheless, or in other words, keep the word. Don't let it suffer loss or ruin. When we lessen the admittance, the harvest decreases. But if we hold the standard of the admittance, then the harvest will be at 100-fold at all times. Somebody say amen if you're hearing that.
Amen, Lord God.
It says it becomes unfruitful. So just like we said, the rhema word is already at maximum harvest when we hear it. The reason it becomes unfruitful is because God's estimate, point of view, and opinion is already, listen, it's already at 100-fold. Oh, yes, hear that. God's estimate, the glory that's being released, the word is the glory. All right. Now, as this glory is being released, it's already at 100-fold. God's estimate, point of view, and opinion is not ever going to yield 30, 60. It's always at 100.
Amen.
When you lessen the admittance, when you sometime this thing, now you're moving into lesser harvest. And then all of a sudden, not only do you move into lesser harvest, you move completely out of harvest because you don't walk in it the way you heard it. Jesus. So when we walk in anything less, we start to see a decline in the harvest. It becometh unfruitful. Right now, we are hearing what us being unified can and will do. When we go back, and I pray we don't, but if we go back to being islands and no longer functioning as his body, we will never see the potential become greatness. We're never going to see the harvest of being unified. If we stop the admittance, if we stop letting it in, if we walk again and become islands all over again, we will never see what God wanted us to see.
Jesus.
We've got to be mindful of this, and we've got to stay. And the only thing we have to do, my God, the answer is always the same. And everybody could probably say it with me. Stay in the study.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We could all say that at the same time. Stay in the study. All right. Here we go. A little bit further. We have to stay unified as one. The glory of God is waiting on us. The word fruit, it says some bring forth fruit. The word fruit actually means bring forth by itself. So now you bring forth, and we've been talking about the new bringing forth the old. All right. So now the fruit actually is the bringing forth. In other words, there are harvest, there's favor, there's prosperity, and all this stuff is attached. So now when we're under the new rhema, the old is about to bring forth. The fruit that's coming is coming forth from the promises that were locked in the old. And if you lost any of those promises locked in the old rhema, what's going to happen is, as you stay in this new rhema and stay joined and stay in oneness of mind with it, what's going to happen is, and as we stay in oneness of mind, it's going to cause all that was in the old to bring forth. Everything that was there is coming. There is no lost harvest with God. I'm going to say that again. There is no lost harvest with God. It will bring forth. So some will bring forth some 30, some 60, some 100. So what will happen is, as the new is coming and developing, the fruit that's coming is what was promised. The old is going to be brought forth. And all of the blessing in the old that was already in your tillage is about to come. All of the favor, prosperity, healing, all of that is going to come forth. You understand that?
Yes, God.
So our fruit is to bring forth what already was told us. The new brings forth the old. The new brings forth the bring. I said it in the note. The new brings forth the bring forth. Bring forth is all that was already maturated in what you've heard months ago. It's about to come forth. Anytime God is revealing new, that means harvest is coming.
Jesus.
Harvest is coming. And in that harvest, hear me now, in that harvest, as long as you stay in the admittance of the new, in that harvest, glory be to God, is everything that you should have had.
Yes, God.
Everything that was unfruitful, right? Everything that was unfruitful, not yielding what it ought to yield, you're going to get. All of it's coming. That's restoration. But it's in this, locked in this revelation, of staying in oneness, staying in the admittance with one another, in the rhema. And I'm going to teach deeply next week on how we draw the anointing from one another as one. I'll get into a little bit right now, and I'm about to close this right here, and we'll look at just a little bit of it, because this is, it works perfect for us. Our oneness is just as Jesus and the Father, all right? So now, our oneness works just as Jesus and the Father. Let me show you proof of this, so you'll get excited to stay connected to your brethren through the rhema word. It says in John 17 and 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. That little word as is so powerful. First of all, Jesus said, Holy Father, keep them through thine own character. That's the definition of where we need to be one. We're all walking in the temperament of the Lord. All right. We're all in his character. And that comes by way of the rhema. I'll show you the breakdown. It goes from rhema to being in the character, from the character developing the glory. All right. We extract from there. I'll show you that next week, all right? But right here, he says, Holy Father, keep through thine own character those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, and here we go, as we are. The word as means this. And this is the Greek definition from your Strong's. It means how. Just how we are one, let them be, all right? It means just as. It also means even as. But then we get a little more detailed, in proportion as. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. All right. And then the next definition means in the degree. All right. Now, our oneness, again, our oneness is just like the Father and Christ when they were hooked up and Jesus was walking in the earth doing all those wonderful miracles. Well, he prayed that our relationship would be like their relationship, all right? In proportion means this. Watch this now. According to a particular relationship in size or amount or degree. There's that word degree again. So he's saying, let them touch, let them move like we move. You got to hear this now. Let them move in the degree. Now, the word degree means this, the amount, the level, or extent to which something happens or is present. Jesus is saying here, Father, let them move like we move. And then he tells us why later on in the verses, he says, because it'll be me, it's you and me, and then I and them, and they'll be in us. But let their oneness, in their oneness, woo, glory be to God. This is only discovered in oneness.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. We individually will not touch this dimension. And you see this in the book of Acts, that as the church got bigger and bigger and larger and larger, and their minds became one. We see a greater outpouring of the anointing of the Father and the Son. All right, now, so he says, so I need them to experience what we experience, but they're going to experience it with each other. But yeah, we're going to be tucked inside there, but they won't unlock it until they get into oneness.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I started to really think about things. I sat in meetings for when Benny Hinn was coming into town, and I sat in the meetings that we, our ministry at the time was one of the host ministries for him to come. And I remember sitting in the meetings and certain things stayed with me. And they really did not look at Benny, the people that were sent before him. They didn't look at Benny as being the actual conduit for the glory. They attributed to the fact that they got our ministries ready to get their minds ready to be on the same accord. And they stressed to our ministries how important it was for people to really engage in the worship and listen to the word. And it reminded me, and we always attributed Benny Hinn for having such a healing ministry. Don't get me wrong, the gifts of healing were on him, but the actual breakout of miracles came because of the oneness of the people in the meetings.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
God was honoring the oneness that came. Benny had a wonderful gift to teach the word and bring everybody into the word and bring everybody into the place of agreement. Now God seeing the assembly would begin to touch and heal. In fact, I remember one time Benny Hinn said this. He said, listen, I think he said he was in Johannesburg or something like that. And he said, I see these people passing this man over the top of them. And they were passing him over the top through the whole crowd. And he's watching this man get closer, and they're passing this man closer and closer to the stage. And as they finally reached the stage, and Benny Hinn looked at the man, and he realized the man was dead. Benny said his faith was not there. But the people got loud and began to worship and yell out to God. And all of a sudden, the dead man sat up on stage and the place erupted. That came because of the power of agreement with the people.
Yes, Jesus.
My point is, it's not according to the Benny Hinns or the Catherine Kuhlmans or the Reinhard Bunkies of our time. It's not according. It's according to the body of believers that Christ will come in and be glorified. It's not about one man. It's about the people of God being in one mindset. That's what God is looking for. That's when God will grow jealous for us. When we become the body. And that's why the devil wants this message to come and go from this ministry.
Oh, Jesus.
I refuse to let go. If I'm down to one or two of you that stands with me, I'm not going to stop.
Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus.
When we, he said, I pray that they will be as we are. They'll be in the proportion. They'll be in the degree. They'll move on the level that we move. Because it'll be you and me and I and them. And they will be in us.
Hallelujah.
Our oneness will function as Jesus and the Father function. It truly is his body. It truly is Christ in the earth. We are. And it truly, I'm telling you, and it truly will know nothing less than the glory of God. This is what God is desiring. And that glory is going to reach to your past and fix it. It's going to stay in your present, and it's already ahead of you in your future. But we unlock this by being in one together. There's restoration coming. There's restoration coming. but we qualify for it by being one. He's been training us. He's been training us in being in his temperament together. He's been training us on staying in the study together. What was he doing it for? Because he said, you guys are going to represent me together. You're going to represent me. You're going to be my body. And everybody that will come and attach themselves to you. Yeah, no more factions in the church. No more body parts laid all over the place. We'll have one sound together.
Hallelujah.
Listening to the head, rejoicing with what the head is revealing, and the restoration that's coming as a result of it. It's going to be so awesome. But God is working on something, and I'm going to say that again. God is working on something, and that something is us. Be ye transformed, he said to me, by the renewing of your mind. He said, Todd, do you know what transformation I'm speaking of? I said, no. He said, I'm transforming you into my body. That's the transformation. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. And the Lord wants us moving in oneness. He wants us to be in agreement together, not to be so divided, not to be divided. Places of sanctification, places of his holiness, moving together in the worship of our giving. Yeah, that's big. There's a revelation behind that. When our minds get on the same level about this unrighteous mammon, and we can worship God, and I say worship God together, as our minds say amen together, that's going to be a major, major break, huge break. That as we honor him, and anybody can say or feel what they want to, but as we worship God together, just like they did, the glory that's going to be released. He proved it. He proved it in Acts. He did. He proved it. He cleared debt in a day. He cleared it. He restored the years that were stolen and eaten. There were no factions in the church. Every man was given as they had need. That was the mind of God. That was the glory of God. Because they said amen to the order of his worship. And I've seen it. I've been doing my due diligence. I've seen it over time. When he brings them in agreement with giving, how he restores. How he restored the nation over and over again. When they brought both the first fruit and the tithe, he restored them so many times. Because they stopped admitting along the way. But when they started to admit again, and they called a solemn assembly. And they restored unto the Lord and worshiped him. How he restored his people. I remember paraphrasing one area when they were laying the first fruit and tithe in heaps. And I don't mean to dwell on this, but it's just in my spirit. They laid them in heaps, right? They just kept bringing. And the king came in and they said, O King Hezekiah, he said, what is all of this? He said, we had to build chambers unto the house of the Lord our God to hold this. He said, because the people have not stopped giving, because the Lord has not stopped blessing them. So every time he blesses them, they keep bringing it. They have plenty. And this is the great store that's left over.
Yes. Hallelujah.
He said he hasn't stopped. And it went on. This cycle went on, according to theologians, according to the theology of it, for over 6 months. It was just nothing but straight up and down harvest. And they had heaps of it. And everybody lived in abundance. Is that my goal? No, not necessarily. My goal is just to see the glory of the Lord on however he chooses to show us. History might not repeat itself like that, but I know the glory will repeat itself.
Yes, it will.
And yes, the results will be the same, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
We'll owe no man nothing. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah,
Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, it's my prayer today. It is my earnest prayer. Seriously, it's my earnest prayer that we truly, truly come into one. It's my earnest prayer, Lord, that we align ourselves and our thinking, everybody that names the name of Jesus in this church, in this ministry, that we come into that oneness so you can look on the body of your son and then you can get excited over our coming together. And in that excitement, you can go ahead and execute your judgment against our past. You can release whatever anger you might have, not toward us, because you're not angry with us, but towards the circumstances that didn't go in our way, towards the places where we didn't get healed, whether it be physically, mentally, emotionally, or whatever. You can execute, Lord God, your wrath on those areas that didn't yield the way that it was supposed to. You'll look on us with a smile, and you'll be proud to see the body of your son walking, performing, and doing just like he did when he was here. Bring us into oneness so we can experience your love, and the world will know that you've loved us and that you even sent your son. The world's going to have an understanding because of the exploits that we do as your body. The world is going to see and they're going to believe. That's what Jesus said to us in John 17. And I know it's the truth. And I accept, even as an apostle, I accept the fact that it's not an individual effort. I'm down with this movement. I'm down with it, Jesus. I'm so down to be one. I've needed the strength of the body that's here at TGM, and they've never disappointed. Never have they disappointed. And I want to see it on greater scales. I want to know it on greater levels. I want every burden removed and every yoke destroyed. I want people from around the world to be able to run in and find safety, to find an ark to ride out the storm in. Father, make us one, please. Make us all one.
Thank you, Lord.
Heal the broken, damaged areas of our life. And bring us yes. together. Yes. Assemble us, Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
Assemble us. Elder Allison says, wow, wow, wow. Evangelist Darrell says, powerful, never seen or heard that before. Cares, so good. Jay Watts gives us a scripture. It says, let no divisions be among us, be among us. And then he reacted to what the evangelist said. The evangelist reacted to what he said. That's oneness right there.
Amen.
Elder Donna says, amen, amen, amen. And then the tribe called Blessed. That's all of our name now. But that's Javon came in and reacted to what both evangelist Darrell said and Minister Jay said. And then Darrell, evangelist, says, as, he says, hallelujah. Elder Donis is saying, thank you, God. It is everyone. It is. Seriously, it really is the same. Our oneness will develop the same relationship of the Father and the Son. It's true. Jay says, truly non-denominational. Amen. Elder Donna says, powerful, powerful. And Elder Allison rounds it off with a hallelujah. And I amen all of that. It's real. It's so real. Well, that's all I have for you guys today. It feels great to be back. I feel good. Feel great. Prophetess is doing much, much better.
Praise God. Amen.
Thank God for that. Thank you all for your prayer. She really is. She's doing much, much better.
Hallelujah.
She really, really is. She's the strongest girl I know anyway, but she's doing much better. And so I thank you guys for your prayers for our family, for your consistent prayers towards our family. And I love all of you for it so much. And thank God for all of you. And again, I say this and I'll say it again. I wouldn't want to be with another group of people. I'm completely, completely blessed to have all of you to be a part of our ministry and a part of the vision that God has given us and a part of the future that we're about to start to walk in. I'm excited for the days that are ahead. I'm excited to be reestablished and reassembled.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to be starting live broadcasting before the month is out. We're going to start live broadcasting where I'll be on Facebook Live, so you'll be able to watch the live broadcast of the service probably once or twice a month. And then we're looking forward to moving in and finding our facility. And just keep everything in your prayers. God is moving. He really is. There's a lot of finances that are being literally, not just in the realm of the spirit, but there's a lot of finances being held up that the enemy's trying to stall. And so we just solicit your prayers for the release of that.
Amen.
But there's a lot. There's a whole lot that belong to us, literally. And so keep that in your prayers as well. But I love all of you. Thank